subprime scandal's wide berth.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. A major investment bank is warning that the slump of the housing market is more serious than widely believed. The Times of London is quoting a note from Morgan Stanley to its clients. It says the sudden deterioration of the U.S. subprime sector has the potential to turn into a real financial crisis. The bank's two chief equity strategists for Europe say while the U.S. economy seems to be slowing down, there has been overheating elsewhere in the world, and they say those can be the early signs of a classical boom-bust scenario. While we're talking about bubbles, today the 90s tech bubble is the subject of conversation at the Supreme Court. The Supremes will look at whether major investment banks conspired to inflate IPO prices way back when. Marketplace's Amy Scott has details.
The case is essentially a turf war. Investors say Credit Suisse, Morgan Stanley, and others broke antitrust laws by colluding to pump up IPO prices. But a district court dismissed the case. The judge ruled that investment banks have an implied immunity to antitrust laws because they're regulated by their own set of securities laws. A federal appeals court disagreed. Steve Thiel with Fordham University Law School explains why it's now with the Supreme Court.
If the state regulates the rates for electricity, it's reasonable not to also regulate the rates of electricity under antitrust laws. So our question is, does that federal law of securities preempt the application of the federal antitrust laws?
Investment bankers hope so. Antitrust laws allow plaintiffs to sue for triple the money they lost. Some worry the potential for expensive lawsuits could dissuade underwriters and threaten the capital raising process just when Wall Street appears to be losing its edge to overseas rivals. Bruce Furster has worked for several New York investment banks. He says the Supreme Court should tread carefully.
Look at our economy. It's the envy of the world. Trifling with how we raise money, to me, is a very, very serious undertaking.
The Securities and Exchange Commission has weighed in. Officials say antitrust challenges could interfere with their jurisdiction. Mel Weiss is one of the attorneys representing investors in the case. He says the trouble is the SEC doesn't provide them much recourse.
The only remedy that you can get would be under the federal securities laws. And under the federal securities laws, there is no remedy for the kinds of injuries that we're talking about.
Not that he hasn't tried. Weiss represented investors in a parallel case. It accused IPO issuers and underwriters of breaking securities laws by manipulating public offerings. That case hit a serious snag a few months ago when a judge dissolved its class action status. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
All this talk about mania in the market seems a good time to check in on the numbers. On Wall Street Monday, the Dow closed down 12 to 12,469, the Nasdaq closed up 7 to 2455, and the S&P closed up a point at 1437. A new trade initiative's in the works. The Wall Street Journal is reporting a Democratic measure will be revealed today. It'll affect international trade pacts by emphasizing labor rights, environmental issues, and access to low-cost medicines. Biotech drugs are among the most expensive in the world. Until now, generic drug companies haven't been allowed in the business. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports from Washington. That's about to change.
After a brand-name drug has been on the market for years, its patent expires and its price drops as generic competitors rush in. Biologics don't face this competition, and their prices are skyrocketing.
A biologic is something entirely different. It is a very complicated protein that is produced inside bioengineered living cells.
Jim Greenwood, the CEO of the Biotechnology Industry Association, says the proteins in biologics can be touchy and not easily copied.
We think, therefore, it's important to do clinical trials to make sure that these products are safe and effective.
That could cost generic companies millions. Still, Congressman Henry Waxman has introduced a bill allowing generic drug companies into the biotech market.
The bill does allow FDA to require clinical trials.
Waxman says the FDA should make the safety decisions, not Congress. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Mark Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Medtronic, applauding the many contributions of America's volunteers. You can find volunteer opportunities in your community today by visiting volunteermatch.org. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
Microsoft has released the first sales figures for its much ballyhooed and long-delayed Vista operating system. Jason Parr says there's an easy way to explain why those figures are high. Mr. Softy owns the desktop.
The security problem isn't likely to lead to the infamous worm-type viruses of Windows past, according to Microsoft and independent security experts. But the news could give pause to consumers and IT departments debating whether to make the switch to Vista. Joe Wilcox edits Microsoft Watch.
Will there be enough benefit down the road? And if they start hearing how there's still security problems, they could be as bad or worse as before. Whether it's true or not doesn't matter, just the fact it might be out there, then they may think, well, what's the point of my going through all this trouble if I'm not really going to get that extra security punch?
Wilcox says businesses are especially likely to look closely because of all the employee training needed to convert to a new system. The consumer version of Vista is due out next month. In Seattle, I'm Jason Parr for Marketplace.
I bet if you had a panda in your backyard, you wouldn't think about using his poop for any practical purpose. Turns out you'd be missing out on a great opportunity. In China, a small research team has come up with a way to turn panda dung into paper. They're going to start selling it by late 2008. Now, panda poop is very rich in fiber, and an adult panda ejects more than 40 pounds of dung every day. Apparently, the researchers got inspired by the way the Thai zoo was able to make notebooks, photo frames, and fans out of the poop of two pandas. They claim that people won't be able to tell the origins of this poopyrus. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.